We're glad to have everybody here today. Thank you all for joining us. What a great crowd on a summer Sunday. Man. And I know there's many people that are out of town on vacation. And if you're happening to watch us from a hotel or the beach or whatever, have fun, put on some sunscreen, and drink plenty of fluids, right? But glad to have you with us wherever you are, watching whatever time zone you're in. Glad to have you at Promised Land today. So if you would turn in a Bible, if you have a Bible, if you have a phone, a tablet, whatever, to Psalm 112. And I'm going to go quickly through 9 verses. We're just going to go from verse 1 to verse 9. And I really felt, as I was reading the book of Psalms this month, there's a group of us that are reading the Bible through, and we're in the book of, actually, we ended Psalms today. Several weeks back, we went through Psalm 112, and it just stood out to me. And so much so that I thought, this is more than just a little thing to chew on myself. I want to present this to the whole church. So that's what I'm doing today. I want to share with you the Word of God today from the Old Testament, Psalm 112. And let's start with verse 1. Praise the Lord. That's what we just did. We sang. But a lot of times in the book of Psalms, it talks about praising the Lord. He's so good. How joyful are those who fear the Lord and delight in His commands. Now, I want you to listen as I read these next few verses. There's some amazing things that are going to happen. Verses 2 and 3 says, their children will be successful everywhere. An entire generation of godly people will be blessed. They themselves will be wealthy. And their good deeds will last forever. Now, I don't know anybody on the planet that doesn't want verses 2 and 3 lived out in their life. I mean, kids that are successful, entire generation that is blessed, wealth, good deeds that last forever. That's a legacy. You know, after you pass on the works that you have established, they're like seeds that are producing fruit. That's awesome. But it keeps going. Verse 4 says, light shines in the darkness for the godly. They're generous, compassionate, and righteous. Good comes to those who lend money generously and conduct their business fairly. Such people will not be overcome by evil. Those who are righteous will be long remembered. Same concept there, legacy. What you're doing are seeds that's being sown, amazing things. Light in the darkness, dominant over evil. I mean, this passage is so encouraging, but I think verse 7 is possibly the best. It says, they do not fear bad news. Instead, they confidently trust the Lord to care for them. I want you to envision a day where you could turn on the news and you do not care. You're not fazed by negatively what you see, what you experience, what you read, what is shouted to you. To not fear bad news. It doesn't say you won't get bad news. It just says you won't fear bad news. So, verse 8, they are confident and fearless and can face their foes triumphantly. They share freely and give generously to those in need. Their good deeds will be remembered forever. They will have influence and honor. Again, just incredible. This is verses 2 through 9. Confident, fearless, influential, honored. All of these things sound amazing. I want these things. I want you to have these things. God wants you to have these things. But who do these honors go to? Who receives all of these blessings from verse 2 to verse 9? Who is it that gets the promises, the protection, the provision of God, you know, honor, to be honored? And then I saw in there, obedient children. Come on. Influence, power, obedient children. Come on. I keep seeing that. Honor, influence, power, confidence, to be confident in who you are as a person, and then to leave a legacy. All of those promises from verse 2 to verse 9. And I want to encourage you to take this passage and read it over and over again. Let it sink into your brain. Let it sink into your heart. Let your spirit be energized by the positive promises of God's word. It's amazing. But all of those promises from verses 2 to verse 9 hinge on verse 1. Verse 1 tells us who can receive those things, okay? And it's really important. Can I have that water? For some reason, I can't get rid of this. Let's go to verse 1. Let's go back in time to verse 1. And it tells us the recipe for those people that are going to receive the blessings of verses 2 through 9. Here's what verse 1 says. How joyful are those who, what? Who fear the Lord and what? Delight in obeying His commands. We're talking about two things today. Fear plus delight. Fear plus delight. Ask you the question right now, what do you fear? What do you delight in? Because what you fear in and what you delight in is going to give you the path for your life. And not just this temporal life, but your eternal life as well. So some might say, well, I fear my boss, right? Or I delight in drinking so much that I forget. I fear what people think about me. I fear what the economic situation is going to be. I fear what COVID's going to be doing. Or I delight in making more money. I delight in a raise or whatever. So fear it. We fear stuff. We delight in stuff. So what the Bible is doing, the Bible is so awesome because it resets us. And it makes sure that we are on the right track, we're focused around the right things, that it gives us all these amazing promises, but it lets us know, hey, this is not just some ambiguous thing that you just kind of float around until you find blessings, or you just kind of drift around until you finally discover what's going on. No, the Bible makes it very clear to fear God and delight in obeying what He says. Now, those two words together about the same thing seems very odd, doesn't it? To fear and delight in the same thing? How would we do that? And the problem that we have is that the concept of fear has been contaminated somewhat, so that the only time we really wrap our head around fear is around something that we cannot trust. Right, so we fear something that is out there that's cloudy, that we're not sure about, or fearing some person or some entity, your boss, your parent, your spouse, the neighbor, whoever, that cannot be trusted. When you watch a horror movie, when you read a horror book or whatever, it's all about someone that's going to take your health, take your money, take your life, and the world's dark. There's a lot of difficult things in the world today. But the Bible gives us a concept of fear that is not based on something you cannot trust. The Bible is saying that you can honor and respect God more than anything else in your life. Another way to wrap your head around this idea of fearing God is to think, what is the thing in my life that captivates my attention so much so that when I try to take my mind off of it, it just snaps right back to that thing? What is it that is concerning me so much that I cannot be freed from it and do anything else? And that is what we are respecting and honoring and fearing the most. The Bible actually gives us a prescription for healthy, appropriate fear. That you can put God first before everything else. And that God is trustworthy. You don't have to be afraid of a God who's ever going to do you wrong. God will never do you wrong. God is trustworthy. God is honorable. God has always kept his word. And so there is a fear of God where you put him before anything else. In your heart and in your mind, he is at the center of your attention. Just daydream for a minute with me. That as you go about your week, that nothing you turn on, nothing you read, no text, no email, conversation or anything that you encounter would take away your focus that God is in total control. To be inundated with the glory of God and the goodness of God and the beauty of God and the power of God. To understand that there is nothing or no one that has authority over our God and our Lord, Jesus Christ. He's the Lord. He's the protector, the provider. And so last year, I came out with this book called How to Be Made Whole. There's an iceberg on the front of it. Some of you are new. You didn't even know this existed. You can pick it up in the foyer today if you'd like. So the idea of this iceberg is really, I just want to touch on it for a second, that way down below the surface of your life, there is something that you are residing in. There's something that is grounding you and holding you. And then everything else in your life, everything else from the bottom of who you are, that being of who you are, everything else is built on that. And so there's a lot of stuff above the surface that everybody sees and everybody's engaging with you with. And we do a lot of stuff. There's a lot of people on the top that act like that God's a big deal, and they and I'm speaking to people here today that maybe have been presented with the idea that God is good and all of that, but really down deep below the surface, you are not anchored in that fear and that honor and respect of God. Instead, you are constantly craving the attention and the affection and the approval of the people around you. And so that is what you fear. It is so imprisoning. It captures us. It captures our mind, our thinking. So if that's the case, then verses 2-9 are not guaranteed for you. If we are putting our attention, our fear around something that is not full of integrity, that has holes all in it, then the blessings of God are not lined up there. And then that second part says that we would delight in obeying what he says. And unfortunately for many people, that is not what we delight in. We are chasing after every new thing that comes up. And ideology, philosophy, education systems, business propositions. And we have to live in the world. We have to deal with people. We have to deal with things, the systems of this world. But if at the core of who we are, we fear and trust God more than anyone else. And our number one objective is to obey what he says and what his word says. I have great news for you. The promises of God's word will begin to bloom in your life. But we live in a culture that is bouncing around from one idea to the next idea, and it is disheartening to see people that profess to be believers or followers of Jesus, to be bouncing around from all these new ideas and new things, and the truth of God's word never changes. It is true, it is right, it is durable, it is solid, it is full of integrity. And so I want to just give you this little snippet today, this little nugget today, this little idea from Psalm 112, that you can be blessed and you can live a life of strength and purpose and legacy, and it all comes from the throne of God. He loves you very much, and that surrendering to Him and saying, God, I don't get all of this, but I'm going to wrap my mind around the idea that you do know what's going on. And if there's anything that I'm going to be reverently and honorably focused on, it's going to be you, Jesus Christ. And there might be a day that I go outside of the lines of what you've asked me to do, and you will discipline me for that because you're a good father. In fact, the Bible says He disciplines those whom He loves. And it also says that the fear, Proverbs 9 says, the fear of God is the foundation or the beginning of wisdom. So I have had a great father in my life, earthly father, who loves bluegrass music. So I told the guys, if no one else likes it, my dad will like it today. But anyway, at 12 years old, at 13 years old, I had a fear of Rob Steele that if I stepped outside of the line, that there was going to be correction. But he was somebody that I could trust in that fear, because he wasn't going to abuse me and he wasn't going to do it arbitrarily. It was going to be something that he had integrity with, and he followed through on his word. And that is a healthy respect for authority. And in a culture that we live in, where there's so much disrespect for authority and so much disregard for anyone submitting to anyone else, I would love for this to be a group of people right here at Promised Land that is submitted to Jesus Christ and understands that God is our authority, and whatever He says is going to happen, and whatever He wants is what we're going to do, and we're not going to be swayed by any earthly voice that's going to try to lead us away from what has been the truth of God's word from day one. So if you're looking for a group of people that are heading that direction, come on and join us at Promised Land. If you're looking for people that are going to drift around and be tossed back and fro by every wind that comes your way, then you just keep on sailing, okay? We're going to be anchored to the word of God and what God says, and believe that it's true. So let's pray. Would you join with me? Would you close your eyes and bow your heads? There's one more verse. Verse 10 that I didn't read. It kind of gives you the flip side of it. It says the wicked will all see this and be infuriated. They will grind their teeth in anger. They will slink away, their hopes thwarted. Man, I don't want to be in verse 10. I want to be in verse 1 to put God first. If you're with me on that, and maybe you've never even prayed a prayer like this before, but there's been a consistent theme throughout the day today, and that is that God loves you. This is no accident. The message of the gospel is clearly coming towards you today. No matter where you've come from or what you've done, the work of Jesus Christ has been sufficient to place you in relationship with God. And so what we do right now is we say yes to Jesus. Say yes, Lord Jesus. If you're ready for that, why don't you just say that? Say yes. I want to be with you, Jesus. I want you in my life, Jesus. And so I surrender my ways to your ways. Lord, I'm tired of doing it my own path, my own way, my own ideas. Instead, Lord, I want to lay it down. I want to put you first. Lord, I want to honor you with my life. I want to fear you. Why don't we declare that to God? As weird as that may sound, to hear yourself say that. God, I respect and I honor you and I fear you first. Because of that, I look at myself and I see that I am unworthy to be with you. So please forgive me of my sins, God. Please help me with the brokenness that I have, the sin that I have, the mistakes, the selfishness, the ugliness. God, forgive me for putting my fear in the systems of this world and cares of this world and all the instability of this world. Lord, please forgive me for that. I want to live a life that honors you. I want to live a life that puts you first. Come on, let's pray this together. I want to live a life where I delight in following you before I delight in anything else. May I delight in following after you, God. A lifestyle that follows after you. Lord, I pray that you would fill us right now, Lord. Fill us with the power of your Holy Spirit from the front to the back, from the side to the side. Everybody watching online right now, God, we open up ourselves. Lord, fill me with the power of your sweetness, your glory, your love, your presence. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, thou hast taught say, it is well, it is well with my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well,
it is well.
My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole, is nailed to the cross, and I bear. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul, it is well,
it is well
with my soul,
with my soul,
it is well,
it is well.
When my faith shall be made high, and the clouds be rolled back like a scroll, and the drum shall the Lord shall descend, even so it is well with my soul. It is well.
It is well
with my soul.
Thank you guys so much. They are going to be out in the foyer. If you would like, they've got some hats. They've got some CDs. They've got old school vinyl. Have y'all got a record player? No A-tracks, though. I asked about that earlier, but that was dumb. Anyway, thank y'all for being here today. God bless you. Be blessed as you leave. Have a wonderful week. We love you so much. We'll see you next Sunday.